praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 13, and just keep your finger on this chapter because we're going to look at all of it, perhaps with God's help. Beginning with verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Verse 10 said, so he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? And I want to talk tonight with God's help a little bit about God's way. But we have to look at some other ways as well in order to understand God's ways. And you may be seated tonight. But, you know, thinking about the ways of the Lord, I want to jump way, way over to the New Testament and just give you a thought about what Paul said when he's talking to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, you know, we're looking at a prophet here that is found in Israel in the days of Jeroboam the king. But, you know, this prophet was charged by God to go a certain way. You know, we have a certain way that God wants us to live, a certain way that God wants us to walk through this life. And, you know, we need to stay with that way. We need to please God and walk in the ways of God. I couldn't help but think God's way is always the better way. You'll never find a better way than God's way, no matter what you look for in this life, no matter where you go. You know, I'm reminded several years ago, it's been several years, that Sister Bear and I, we were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and that's been many years ago. And you know, we went away. We went on a little trip, and it wasn't very well planned. Our trip wasn't. And we got down around Asheville, North Carolina. And when we got down there, Sister Bear was driving, and Brother Bear was giving her the directions. And neither one of us knew where we're going, but you know, we thought we did. But, you know, I told her, I said, go this way. And it wasn't her fault. She was following my directions. But as we went that way, after we got on that way, I realized it was the wrong way. We wanted to go another way. And all of a sudden what happens is like some ladies will do, and, you know, she gets a fear of getting lost. We all have a fear of being lost and going to hell. There needs to be a fear that we're not going to make it to heaven if we mess up and we get on the wrong road because we can get on the wrong road. And all we had to do is just take and stop. You know, sometimes in our life, what we need to do if we realize we're going the wrong way is to stop and make a turn in the road and head in the other direction. One man put it this way. He said, the man who wants to go to heaven should study the route that will get him there. You know, there's many ways that the Bible tells us about, and many different ways. But you know, when you look at this prophet that God had sent to this man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam he became a wicked king. He'd done some things in Israel that he shouldn't have done. You know, he was the first king over Israel after it was divided as a nation. And he began to think about some of the people Pardon me. And how that they maybe would go back to Rehoboam. And what he did, he said, they're going to go up to the Jerusalem, to the house of God, and they're going to worship there. And they're going to, their hearts are going to go back to Jeroboam, or to Rehoboam. And Jeroboam said, what I'll do is I'll make two golden images, two calves, and I'll put one in Bethel, and I'll put one up in Dan, and the people can go to worship there. And you know, he was making religion for them easy. You know, we're looking for the easy way today, and there's those that will offer us that easy way just to satisfy us and to for their own benefit. But you know, Jeroboam was wrong, and God got angry, and God sent a prophet to Jeroboam to prophesy against him. If you look at chapter 13 of Kings in verse 1, it said, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, unto Jeroboam. And you know, it says, Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. You know, when you look at these words, you think Jeroboam's doing something good. You think Jeroboam's by the altar, but he wasn't by the altar of God. He was by the altar of this idol God that he had created, and he's worshiping this idol God. And this man of God comes and he cries against the altar in the word of the Lord, and he says, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places, and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. You know, God is pronouncing a judgment against these altars, these false gods, and this false religion that Jeroboam had established in the land. You know, just because it feels good, just because it looks good, and just because it seems good, doesn't mean that it's good. Doesn't mean that it's God's way. Church, we need to be very careful in the time that we're living in. But it says he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. But look what happens in verse 4. It says, and it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, you know, that he put forth his hand from the altar. Jeroboam became mad and angry at the man of God because this prophet was telling him the truth and he didn't like to hear it. Church, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear God's word. Word more than ever as we see the day approaching and we know that Jesus is coming. We shouldn't get angry at the preachers and the evangelists and the teachers that will tell us the truth. My God, we ought to hear what God is saying. We ought to know that God still has only one way to heaven. All other ways are false. All other ways will lead to hell and lead away from God. But here Jeroboam the king stretches out his hand and he points at this prophet. You notice something about this prophet because he goes on to walk back in the wrong way. And he himself is deceived that his name isn't even mentioned in these verses of scripture. But Jeroboam says to those around him, lay hold upon him. Take this prophet for what he said, but it says in his hand which he put forth against him or against the prophet dried up so that he could not pull it again to himself. Church, we need to be careful what we say about God's people. We need to be careful what we say about those that are trying to point us in the right direction. My God, you see, we sometimes as men. And sometimes as women of God, we just are defenseless in our own self. But there's a God in heaven that will defend His people. There's a God that still sits on the throne tonight, that still pronounces judgment against the false religions that are in this world today. They'll not get by with it. God will have the final say. But oh, listen, He goes on to say this. The Bible said that the altar was rent and the ashes poured out from the altar while they stood there, and Jeroboam's hand dried up from stretching it against the man of God. The word of God came to pass while they stood there. The altar began to break in two, and the ashes of that ungodly altar were poured out, and it must have put some fear in the hearts of those that stood around. But it said it happened according to the sign of the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered. You know, there put some fear. This put some fear in the heart of that king. And he said unto the man of God, he begins to plead and entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord. You know, this man of God held nothing against Jeroboam. You know, many of us would get angry. Many of us would say, I'm not praying for you because you were just about to lay hold on me, but not this prophet. You know, you find something good in this prophet's life. He begins to pray for this king, and his hand is restored as it was before. But listen, after this, the king begins to talk to the man of God. Church, if we've ever been cautious in our life about what's happening in our time, we need to use caution more than ever. The devil is out to deceive us any way that he can. He wants you and me to end up in hell. He doesn't want us to walk in the ways of God any longer. He wants God's people to walk in the way that leads to destruction. He wants our families to walk down the way to hell tonight. But my God, there's still a way if we want to walk in it tonight. There's still a right way. The king said unto the man of God, and look what he does. He said, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. You know, we've got too many preachers and too many teachers and too many in the church world. They're looking for rewards. And I'll tell you something tonight. If we get that attitude, the devil will have something to reward us with. But what good are the rewards of the wicked? What good are the rewards of the sinners and the evil man tonight? You see, there's a God in heaven that makes a difference in our life. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. But listen, he said, for so it was charged me by the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something tonight. We're accountable to a certain extent to one another, but we are charged by God to obey Him tonight. We have a command from God tonight, and we need to hear what God says. We need to hear from the throne of God. We need to listen to the Spirit of God tonight. The devil is on a rampage. The devil is trying to deceive whosoever he can tonight. And if he can get to our leaders, if he can get to the prayer warriors, if he can get to those in the home that are the Christians, and he can pull them down, he'll destroy our families. He'll destroy our churches. He'll destroy our relationship with God. But we've got to continue walking in the right way tonight. Oh, hallelujah. And then this man said, I'm not to eat bread nor drink water. But he said, nor turn again by the same way which thou camest. He said, I can't even go the way that you came, King. I've got to go the way that God tells me. I've got to go in that way. So you know, he goes out, and verse 10 says, he went another way. You know, we might go another way. We might use a different method. We might use different things and different techniques to reach people. But my God, we could never use the ways of this world. There's been so much compromise. There's been so many things that we're bringing into the churches tonight. They're bringing the world in to entertain. They're bringing Hollywood in. They're bringing the Jezebel spirit in. And you see, God is still against these things tonight. Oh, let's look for every way that we can that is beneficial for God's work. But let's never pick up the ways of this world, the ways of sin, the ways of the devil. For those will lead us to hell. They'll lead us to misery, to pain and agony, and to heartache. They'll lead us to that way that goes to destruction tonight. You see, it's never changed. My God, we think, many people think that you know, we can outsmart God. And the Bible said, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. But listen, you know, if we're not careful, the devil will use anybody can. He begins to get an old prophet here. He begins to get one that's out of touch with God just because somebody says that they are a child of God. Just because somebody says they're a preacher or they're some worker in the church. My God, we ought to be very careful tonight. There's a lot that are using the name of Jesus tonight for their own benefit. But it's not for our benefit that God has called us. It's not for our glory that God has called us. But he's called us to help those that are around us. He's called us to give glory and praise and to honor unto God, the God that is still in heaven, the God that will all stand before and give an account one day. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm tired of what the devil's doing. I'm angry at the devil. I'm tired of seeing him destroy families. I'm tired of seeing him destroy the lives of young people and drag their souls to hell. My God, it's time that we get up off of our seats of do nothing and say, my God, my God, my God, help me to be what you called me to be. Hallelujah. But you know, this man of God began to let his guard down. And he goes on this other way. It says there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, and them they also told unto their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? Where did you see him? Which way was he gone? You know, the devil knows what way we're going tonight. He'll search out and try to stop us. He wants to stop us from being the child of God that God wants us to be. He wants us to stop in the holiness way and in the holiness walk. But the Bible still tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know, God's not changed that. He's not changed it because we're living what we think is a modern time. For his sons, when this father asked which way he went, his son has seen the way that the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon.
But look what this next verse says. And went after the man of God. This prophet that God had sent to Jeroboam began to relax. He, you know, there's no time for us to just sit around and be do-nothing Christians. But this man of God probably thought, you know, I delivered this message. You know, if we deliver a message tonight, then God wants us to have a message tomorrow. If we make it through tomorrow, God wants us to have a message the next day. You say, what is that message? It shows all this world. And we say that I'm walking in the way of God. Our life speaks louder than what our words do. If we go around with a pout on our face, if we go around and all we do is complain, it's saying to this world that I'm not in God's way any longer. Oh, hallelujah. You see, sometimes we think the only message comes from this. But we speak louder with these bodies and our actions than what we'll ever speak with in words. Hallelujah. And this man, this old prophet, went after the man of God. Can you see that the devil is hot on our trails tonight? That he's out to get us and to destroy us? The Bible said he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to take your soul to hell. You know, this thing is real tonight. And then it says, and he found him. But you know, he didn't find this man of God doing much in his life now. He finds him probably feeling pretty good. I've delivered the message. I've accomplished what God wants me to do. And I'll just sit down and take it easy. You know, Jesus said we need to work, for the night cometh when no man shall work. We need to work for the Lord and for the kingdom of God every day that we let slip by without living a Christian life. My God, is a day that's gone forever. It's an influence that we've lost over some person, over some individual, over some opportunity that God has given us in that day. It is gone forever. But this man of God sat down. And sometimes we come to church and we sit on the pew. We're here for an hour and a half, 2 hours. We go home and for the rest of the week we've done our duty to God. You know, that's not when the duty starts. Not when you sit on the pew. That's not when the service starts. We think the service starts when somebody's singing or somebody's clapping their hands or somebody's getting happy. You know, that's a good thing. We ought to do those things. We ought to do more of it. We ought to worship God in the beauty of holiness. We ought to worship Him in spirit and truth. But the service doesn't start when we sit on the pew. The service starts when we hit the doors. Hallelujah. And we're walking in this way that God has called us to walk. But here the man of God that came to Jeroboam sits down. And you know, the devil knows when we're sitting down on God. The devil knows when we're not doing the things that God wants us to do. We know it too. You know, we know when we get lazy and when we give up and we just make excuses for non-service to God. There is no excuse tonight. Hallelujah. But this old prophet found him sitting under an oak. Now, you know, I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to rest and get our strength back. Because Jesus even took the disciples aside at one time for a time of rest. But when he did, he found they couldn't find it because everybody's looking for something from the Lord. You know, there's always somebody else that needs God's help as we're going along this way. But he sits under the oak. I thought, here he is sitting, not moving. He's sitting down in a place of comfort. And this old prophet come to him and said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And look what he says. And he said, I am. You know, I did all that. I went up there to Jeroboam. I gave him the message. I done that. You know, we need to be careful that we don't get so wrapped up in I that we forget him. Because he's the one that, you know, he's the one that sends us on the mission. He's the one that gives us the anointing. He's the one that gives us the wisdom. He's the one that gives us the message and the words to speak. We can't do anything on our own. And when we sit down and we begin to do like this prophet, we are in for some trouble in our life. Listen, and he said, unto him, come home with me and eat bread. You know, here's this prophet. How many people have been persuaded by false religions? How many people are given in? You know, I've heard people sit home and watch some of these things that are on the TV and then they want to be just like them. You know, I heard a preacher the other night that one time I thought was pretty good. I thought he had something until he begins to compromise with worldly people and said God's going to pour his spirit out upon him. God's not going to pour his spirit out upon somebody that's living an ungodly life. We've got to be holy vessels for the Lord. God's still God. And this man said, I'm the one. And this old prophet says unto him again, he says, come home and eat bread with me. And this prophet said, you know, I may not return unto thee nor go in with thee. He knew he shouldn't do this. He knew it was wrong. You know, there's not a one of us that's sitting here tonight that when we sin and do against God that, you know, we know we're doing wrong. Every one of us do. Amen. You know, I do. You do. We all do. But then he said, I may not return with thee. But you know, this man of God, this false preacher, this whatever you want to call him, this old prophet. In verse 17, he said, for it was said unto me by the word of the Lord. You know, we've been studying about tribe, the spirits. You know, just because somebody says God, you know, I get tired of these people. I've got people going around saying, you know, God told me that. I heard Sister Kelly the other night saying she was somewhere and somebody come up to her and said, the Lord told, well, you know, what you ought to do is look them back in the face. If the Lord told you, how come he didn't tell me? God's not going to change his direction in our life. You know, God's not going to take a command that he gives us and somebody comes along and says, oh, the Lord told me. Well, you know, you better check it out real good. Because if it's going against God's command and what God's directed you and what you know to do right in your life, then it's not a God. And you know, he said, the Lord told me that thou shalt, you know, it was told by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread and turn again by the way that comest. But you know, this guy says, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. Listen very carefully, church. He said, I'm just like you. You know, I'm going to tell you something. God called me, and I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not going to look down on people. But, you know, when some ungodly person comes to me, and they tell me that I'm just like you are, I'm going to look them in the face and say, no, I'm what God's made me. I'm changed. I'm different. I don't do those things anymore. You know, we're listening to everything that comes along. Many in the church are listening to everything that calls itself a preacher. Everyone that says, you know, God done this and God done that. You know, some of them are lying. Some of them, you know, I hear these people say, oh, the Lord told me this and the Spirit told me that. And they're doing things against God's word. We mentioned this morning, God will never tell you to do something that goes against the word of God. Amen. I don't care who we are. I don't care how much religion we got. We need to get some salvation. You know, the devil's got religion. And this old man came. He says, I'm like you. And he said, an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with me into thy house that he may eat and bread and drink water. But look what it says. The Bible tells us plainly, but he lied unto him. You know, the devil don't, the Bible said he's the father of all liars. He's lied from the beginning. He's been a murderer from the beginning. He's not going to change. And you know, he's getting others to lie along with him. And this man, I don't know what all this purpose of this old prophet was. Maybe he just wanted to get this man there to say, I've had him in my house. Or maybe it's a demon spirit that's motivating him to tear down this man of God that went to Jeroboam. No, take somebody with some backbone to go and stand in the face of an evil king and do these things. And God protected him. But look how quick he changes. You know, we can, if we're not careful, we can be for God one day and the next we can be backslidden. We have to be very, very careful and continue in the Word of God. But this prophet lied to him. So in verse 19, so he went back. And did eat bread in his house and drank water. You know, he's thinking everything's all right. God told him to do this. You know, God didn't tell him. You know, he should have stopped and think, well, you know, if God told you to do this, how come he told me not to do this? You know? When God tells you not to do something, he means that. He doesn't mean that somebody can come along and give you the approval to do what's wrong. You know, God's never given me the approval as a pastor to tell any one of you to do wrong. And if I tell you to do wrong and tell you to do something that goes against that word, you need to kick me out them doors back there and say, we're going to get another preacher. You know, but we're going to get in trouble. This man of God went back with him and he sat down and he ate. And it says it came to pass as they set up the table. Here they are sitting there eating. And all of a sudden the word of the Lord came. Now God can use anybody. I read where when Balaam was going over to curse the children of Israel. And you know that God used his donkey to speak to him. That donkey, you know, began to talk to him. And God's using this old backslidden prophet, you know, to bring judgment against this man of God. And as they're sitting there, the word of the Lord came unto that prophet. And he cried unto the man of God, said, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You know, God has authority tonight. And if we don't surrender authority to his leadership in our life, then we are denying him something that belongs rightfully to him. You know, he said, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou, you know, hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, hast not kept the commandment which the Lord commanded thee, but camest back. He went back out of the way that he should have been. He should have got up from that oak tree. And he should have walked a little farther. You know, sometime we need to stay a step or two. We ought to always stay a step or two ahead of the devil. Because if we don't, he's going to lay hold on us. And he's going to destroy us. Verse 23 said, it came to pass after he had eaten bread and drank and had drunk that he saddled for him the ass and for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone. Now, you know, this prophet that went out of the way probably thought, you know, well, God spoke this against me. And it might happen sometime way out there in the future. You know, sometimes we don't think that God's judgment can come quickly upon us, but it can come very quickly upon us. Came upon Ananias and Sapphira very quickly. And they dropped dead right there in the church house. But you know, it says here, and when he was gone, a lion met him, look what it says, by the way, and says, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And you know, his carcass is laying there, and everybody that goes by could see what had happened. They saw the carcass cast in the way. You know, and they knew that this is a man of God, that got out of God's way. You know, I'm going to try to hurry through, but you know, there's another way that we need to understand. When God was bringing the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, the Bible said, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea and to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You know, I thought, you know, as we're going through this life, that life is not always easy. But you know, when we find that the way is hard and the way is tough and life sometimes gets us down, you know, I've heard people blame God as these people begin to complain and murmur against God and against Moses. And they want to blame God and they want to blame the Moses in this situation. And God gets angry with them. You know, sometimes the way gets rough so that God can prove Himself to us. And we can just reach out and take His hand. The Lord will lead us all the way. He'll lead us through this life. He'll take us all the way. But God sent fiery serpents among them and began to bite the people until they began to die. You know, death came quickly to some of them. And some of them probably would lay, and maybe not so quick for others, when that serpent would bite them. The blood would begin to go from the point where that serpent would lay his fangs in them, and maybe go up their leg or through their arm and to their body and cause them to go in spasms and to cause them to be in agonizing pain until they would die. You see, this life is sometimes rough. But my God, let's never complain against God. You know, I've heard people complain against God and get angry with God. You know, we all get angry at the devil tonight. I'm angry at Satan tonight. I hate the devil. I hate what he's doing. You know, when I look at your families and I look at my family and we see some of the things that's happening to them, it makes me get upset and angry with the devil. You say, preacher, you act like you're mad. I'm not mad at anybody here tonight. I'm mad at the devil tonight because I know what he's doing. When I can see little children in pain and agony, and I can see their little bodies and, you know, and what Satan is doing in their bodies and what he's doing to families and young couples and young married couples, what the devil's doing, it's making me angry tonight. You know, because he's leading them in the wrong way. He's taking their souls to hell. And you know, we need to stand up and we need to come to their defense. We need to say, God, use me, Lord. Help me to be, Lord, in the right way. Let me be in the way where you can use me tonight. There's a way of disobedience. We just seen that. I'm not going to look at any more of that. But there's also a way in man's way. We see a lot of people tonight that are just doing their own thing. You know, we talk about it. We hear about people that say there is no God. We see people in the church that take the Word of God and they shut this blessed Word. You know, this is like a road map. If Sister Bear and I had been using a road map back then when we took the wrong road, we maybe would have stayed on the right road. But if we close this book and we never open it, we're going to find we're getting in the wrong way tonight. And the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are the end of death. One man puts it this way. He says, Christ is the only way to heaven. He said, all other paths are detours to doom. Every other path will lead to doom and to destruction. We need to take a look at God's way tonight. You know, this prophet, if he'd stopped and thought about God's way, he wouldn't have found that lion pouncing upon him. He'd have made it back and could have been used another time by God. But he listened to the wrong spirit, to the wrong source of information. But God has a way tonight. And listen what God says in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, You know, God speaks to us tonight. As He was speaking to the children of Israel, He said, stand ye in the ways. You know, it's as if tonight God is saying to each of us that we need to just stand. You know, sometime we ought to take and just stop and stand and see where the way will lead us that we're on tonight. And He said, when we stand, we ought to see. Take a look. And see where the way of sin has led many tonight. See where the way of righteousness has led many tonight. God's way. There are two ways tonight, church. He said we ought to ask for the old paths. And then when we ask for them, we ought to walk in them. He said, wherein you're going to find rest for your souls. He said, it's the good way. You see, God's way is always the good way. It's better than a life of alcoholism. It's better than a life of all the things that are happening in this world tonight. God's way is always better. Hallelujah. You know, it's a way that leads to eternal life. Jesus said that we ought to strive to enter in at that straight gate. He said, for narrow is the way and all that leads to life. You know, there's still a way tonight that leads to life. Oh, you know, He said, there's few that find that way. You know, there's few that want to walk on that way. There's many that do like they did in Jeremiah's time when God said, stand ye in the ways and see or look, whatever you want to call it. He's saying stand, but they said, we're not going to walk in that way. You know, many are refusing to walk in God's ways tonight. And they're finding that as they're walking along, sin is taking its toll in their lives. I've never seen a time when there's so much misery in our society. I've never seen a time when there's so much turmoil in our nation as what it is today. Look at our families. Every family here is affected by the sinful ways that many of our families have chose to walk in. And not only are they suffering, but it tears our heart out to see what's happening to them tonight. But you know, we need to tell them that God still has a good way. Oh, make up your mind and walk Him the right way. Make up your mind to serve Jesus. Oh, make up your mind that, praise God, you want to find that rest for your soul. The sinners in this world will never find a rest and peace. There is no rest to the wicked tonight. Oh, but there's peace for the child of God that will walk in the ways of the Lord tonight. I'm trying to hurry through this tonight. But Jesus said there's another way. And He says there's the broad way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. One man said the way to heaven is too straight for the man who wants to walk crooked. You know, it's true tonight. Those that want to walk crooked will never walk with the Lord. They'll never reach the destination called heaven. But there's a destination called hell where they'll plunge into one day. We can walk in the way of God tonight if we desire to. You know, we can all make it. This thing of the devil feeding us excuses and lies, telling us we can't make it. You know, I get tired of people saying, and hearing Christian people say, that serving God is hard. My God, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, not God's way. Jesus said we could find rest for our souls. You know, God's way is always the good way. It's the better way. Paul said to that church, now he's talking about a little different things here, but they were having some problems in the church at Corinth. But he said, I'm going to show you an excellent way. You know, I got a better way to show you. Praise God, I got a way that exceeds all the ways of this world. All the turmoil, all the sin, all the problems that this world has. He said, I got something that far exceeds that, and it's God's way tonight. Hallelujah. But you know, we listen to the devil and we go around boohooing all the time. feeling sorry for ourselves. My God, we ought to feel sorry for those that are out in sin, and we ought to walk in this way so that they can see something in us, so they'll want to change the way they're going. Hallelujah. God's people ought to be the happiest people on this side of heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The church ought to be happy tonight. I'm not saying there's not going to be times when you're sad and you got problems. But you know, we got something to rejoice about, don't we? Hallelujah. We've got a God that this world doesn't have tonight. You know, we got one that when things go wrong in our life, we can turn to Him because He's in the way with us. Oh, you know, one writer said, you know, this way, it's straight and narrow. And you know, nobody can walk with us. But there's only one that can walk with us on this way. Some can walk before us. Some can follow us. But only Jesus can walk with us. Hallelujah. In this way tonight. I'm so glad He does. I'm so glad. God is so good to us. You know, but one writer said, teach me. Teach me, Lord, Thy way. You know, sister, would you come? The Bible says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. You know, God wants to teach sinners the way tonight to walk with Him. You know, God's always there. And God is so good to us. You know, that writer that said, teach me Thy way and I will walk in Thy truth. He goes on to say, for great is Thy mercy. He said, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Aren't you glad that God has delivered us from dying and going to hell? I'm going to try to sing a song tonight that we sing during the Christmas program if I can. And pray for me tonight. My voice might not let me. I can't do it, sister. Praise God. But you know, that writer says, I can tell you what it says. Said, I got up on Sunday morning and went to the church at 10. Said, I listened to the words I've heard time and time again. He said, the preacher spoke of sinful lives. It seems he spoke of mine. And that writer says, but I was young and I had plenty of time. You know, the second verse of that says, I walked on down life's pathway, living as I wished to live, out to get the other fellow and out to get what life could give. And he says, making money isn't sinful. Having fun is not a crime. But he said, I'll just wait. I've got plenty of time. And then, you know, I don't know how God inspired him and moved him. But the last verse said, before I knew what happened, life's scenes had passed away. And the writer said, Megan stood before God's throne, for it was judgment day. He said, now eternal darkness beckons, and the name that He calls is mine. And he said, I thought I had plenty of time. Would you stand with me tonight? I heard a preacher talking about a pastor. He said the pastor was preaching on hell. He said in the back of the church, there was 4 teenage boys. And as he was preaching on hell, these boys were sitting there making fun, laughing, disturbing the service. But he kept on preaching. And one of the young boys stood up and said, preacher, how far is hell? And the 4 boys walked out the church, went out the door. The pastor kept on preaching his message and he finished. And everybody was gathered around the church praying. And all of a sudden the door opened up. Said, in walked a policeman. And he walked up. He says, I hate to disturb you folks. And he identified the car. He said, there's a car. And he said, there's 4 young boys in it. They realized it was those 4 young boys that had been in church. He said, just 2 miles down the road, 2 miles from the church. Said, there's been a terrible accident. And the policeman said to the preacher and to those in the church, he said, I hate to tell you this. He said, but all 4 of them boys were killed in that accident. I read one time, one man asked us, how far is hell? Where's hell? Someone answered him and said, it's at the end of a Christless life. Church, I don't preach hard tonight because I'm mad at anybody. God knows my heart. I don't want to see one person die and go to hell. How far is it to hell tonight? You might be one breath away tonight. You might just be one heartbeat away tonight. And if we're not ready, if Jesus Christ isn't in our life and we haven't received Him as Lord and Savior, if you're here tonight and you're not where you should be with God, if you know you're not serving Him the way you once did, if you know your heart's not right with God and you put other things before Him, by God, we need to run to these altars. We need to run and say, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Help me, Lord, to be ready. Oh, you see, Satan's after you tonight. Satan's after every young person. He's ever after every family member you got tonight. And church, if we've ever prayed, if we've ever got a hold of the horns of God's altar, oh, God's calling you tonight. God's calling each of us tonight. Oh, to make our ways back to the old time altars again. God's calling us to commit and rededicate our hearts and lives to Jesus. One heartbeat away. I wonder what that young boy, I wonder what he thought when his question was answered just a few minutes later. How far is hell? Oh, you know, I can hear him today. I can hear him crying out today, but it's too late. I can hear him saying, my God, my God.